This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, not what one well-known conservative broadcaster calls the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. I'm Joy Cardine, not Rush Limbaugh. Thanks for joining us on this Friday, September 13th. It's now 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. I played this theme song, Rush Limbaugh's theme song, because we are going to be talking about AM radio this hour. We are going to be talking about the past, present, and future of AM radio, and welcome your questions, concerns, and memories. We are going to talk about whether AM radio is in danger of going away and if it matters. Rush Limbaugh was once credited for saving AM radio, but now at least one FCC commissioner says that new technologies are threatening AM radio's existence altogether, and he's on a quest to save AM before it's lost in the static. We are going to be talking with a Emeritus Professor of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a radio expert. He is the former director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Jack Mitchell, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
It's good to have you. So tell me what your reaction to this news that perhaps AM radio is going to be lost in the static due to new technologies like cell phones that's going to extinguish the AM signal.
Yeah, I saw this in the New York Times a couple of days ago, and I was a little surprised. It was right on the front page, and I said, I thought that the New York Times was a newspaper. What's new here? Because AM radio has been under siege ever since television and FM radio came in, which is now, some 60, 70 years ago. So it was the first medium. You know, of course, it was the first one to come along. So everything that has come since has eaten into AM radio. I had not thought about the number of cell phones and those other signals out there, but there's no question that there are a lot more instruments, pieces of equipment, electronic equipment, that do interfere with AM signals and make it harder and harder to enjoy without the static and the interference, etc. So it's definitely under siege, but it's not new. It's been under siege for a long time. Will it last? I suspect it will to an extent, but it will be continually be diminished.
Well, maybe it's news because there is a Republican member of the Federal Communications Commission who is on a personal quest to save AM radio. That his name is Ajit Pai. I may be mispronouncing that, but he's only been on the job for about a year, and he's urging the FCC to undertake a complete overhaul of AM radio, saying that things need to be done, like deregulations that will save AM radio. Do you think there is some call for some sort of regulatory changes to save AM radio?
But it's probably not deregulation, because the problem, or one of the problems with AM radio, is that there are so many stations. And back when AM radio was the only means of mass electronic broadcasting, of course everybody had to be on that little AM dial, and they squeezed in more and more stations. And this was because this was when things were more or less deregulated after World War II, and so we had cities used to have one or two AM radio stations, except New York or Chicago, they had maybe five or six. But after the World War II, they allowed all these stations to come on wherever they could squeeze them in, and it degraded all of the other AM stations. I think a better plan, which was proposed a few years back and implemented in part, was to try to get rid of a lot of stations. But that's harder to do than to say, because they, in fact, did have created ability for certain stations to move out of the current band into a somewhat higher band at this over 1,600 kilocycles. And they were, but the old ones never quite went away. And so they just added more stations. So I think that what if they want to do something to save the AM band, it's going to have to be either reducing the number of stations and allow those that exist remain to have more power and more reach, or to go digital, which we're trying to do, which means a different kind of signal on the AM band. But the public doesn't seem to be too anxious to go with that. It's not been really caught on the way high-definition television has. So I don't know what the answer is, but I'm pretty sure it's not deregulation.
Yeah, he FCC Commissioner Pai says that AM radio is the audible core of our national culture. And he says that it is vital in emergencies and in rural areas. Is AM radio that vital today?
No, I don't think so. It certainly has the ability to go great distances. You know, the key about AM radio is that it's low frequency and it curves with the earth, so that you can theoretically at least send a signal all the way around the world if you give it enough push. But it does go at great distance, and so in places like the middle of Kansas, where they aren't that many people, but there's a lot of land, the fact that you can get a big, powerful station from Kansas City or some of these other, or Denver or something of that sort, you know, that's useful, although there's probably the Denver station isn't probably going to give you information about the highway closing in some place in the middle of Kansas. So, but if there's a real emergency that's national, you'll probably get it on hear about it from TV. So it's just that's an old argument. I mean, it's very, and that's what they said in the 1930s, and it was true then. But now there's so many alternative ways of getting information that I think tuning to a high power AM station from a distant city is not likely to happen. And even a lower a power, an AM station in your own community, well, there are plenty of FM stations there, too. So I just don't buy it.
Yeah. What's your take on, Jack, on the claim that Rush Limbaugh saved AM radio? Did he?
He certainly played a big part. AM radio, when I first came to Wisconsin Public Radio back in 1976, AM radio was still dominant. Most people still had it. But then when they put FM radios in cars, which came about that time, it just has been a total shift toward FM since at least, well, it shifted been going on before that, but about that time, FM passed radio, and it went down, it was going down and down and down and down, and then it hit about 15% of the audience, which means 85% was on FM, and Rush Limbaugh and other specialized audience pleasers, shall we say, Limbaugh and the other talk shows, host Laura, what was her name? I've forgotten.
I did too.
Yeah. So, but anyway, there was a whole bunch of them who had strong opinions and were a little outrageous. And so those folks, people who wanted that, could get it on AM. They couldn't get it on FM. And so at the FM dominance did not increase after Limbaugh came on. So it's still about 15% of the radio listening is to AM. Limbaugh is certainly a big part of it. He is the most popular program on radio, Morning Edition, by the way, is second nationally. And he's only on AM in most places. And so, yes, he's made a big part. News radio is important. certain amount of personality radio continues, because FM is primarily music and AM does more with talk, and if those who want talk, that there's more of it on AM. It's not necessarily better, but there's more of it there. So people who want this specialized information can go there. And I noticed the other day, I was looking at for some different reason, that a lot of AM stations have gone religious, which is a specialized taste once again, and those who want religious talk can get it on AM. They don't on FM. There's some of it there too, of course, but it's a place for specialties. Another thing, I saw a lot of ethnic radio now, of course, Spanish language mm-hmm. radio, but mm-hmm. Ukrainian and all these other little specialized audiences, they're there on AM. So Limbaugh, but Limbaugh is the biggest force. He's the biggest in radio, and certainly on AM.
We are talking about AM radio, talking some about its past, its present, and its future. And we're welcoming your memories of AM radio, your questions about the future of AM radio, maybe the future of radio in general. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you think AM radio is still relevant today? Do you still listen to AM radio? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is 3 months, my friends, since I have talked to the people of this country about our national problems. But during this period, many things have happened. And I'm glad to say that the major part of them have greatly helped the well-being of the average citizen.
Well, it used to be that AM radio was the only game in town back in the day of the fireside chat, but lots has changed on the radio landscape. Now only 15% of the listening audience is tuned to the AM dial, and new technologies continue to threaten its future. We are talking about an article that was printed in the New York Times recently that said that these new technologies like smartphones and other technologies are threatening AM radio's future. And there is a FCC commissioner who is making it his mission to try to save AM before it's lost in the static. And we're welcoming your questions about this, your reactions to this. We're wondering if you think AM radio is still important today. Are you still listening to AM radio? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Jack Mitchell. He's a professor emeritus of journalism and mass communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, former director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He was founding producer of NPR's All Things Considered, among other things, and is currently writing a book about the history of public radio and television in Wisconsin for the State Historical Society Press. And we'll get a preview on that, too, as we go along. Well, there's another Jack on Twitter who says, I think terrestrial radio is only a few years away to, he wrote, mobsolescence. Soon radio will just be online. There's no need for the AM or FM dial. Your thoughts on that, Jack?
He's right.
Really? So,
I think that I'm not sure how many years it will take, but digital online or digital technology over the air, or those things, once they're in cars and people can listen to any radio station in the world with perfect fidelity, or at least pretty darn good, in wherever they want to be through the internet system, why have these transmitters? Their AM transmitters have poor quality, and FM is better quality, but it doesn't go all that far, and you have to have a special receiver, but if you can have this instrument that does all kinds of things, Sure. I think all broadcasting to the general public will likely move toward the internet, and at some point, an AM will probably be first. But you might as well just turn the stations off. Radio AM, radio FM, television. I think having a broadcast station, I think, is going to be not a great thrill, but it once was, because anybody can get into the business. So, yeah, what do you call it?
Mobsolescence.
I think that's exactly right. Now, but it doesn't mean I like the idea of the mobsolescence part of it, but I think that the current broadcasters, such as yourself mm-hmm. and those others at public radio, but I think they will still be important. In fact, critical in my opinion, and that but people will listen to it online rather than on over broadcast signals.
Let's go to John in La Crosse. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good. What is your thought?
Well, when I was younger, I got into shortwave listening, which is kind of like AM listening, but for longer distances, and this is relevant. I found that once I've tried to get back into it, and now that I'm older, a lot of the stations no longer exist. And this is just in line to what the fellow was saying about you can do the same broadcasting on the internet and possibly reach more listeners, but at a much lower cost because you're not paying for transmitting that signal on a large tower or antenna.
Yeah, that's right. And, the BBC, which, was the great shortwave broadcaster, I think they're still doing it, but it's being pulled back, and they're on the internet, and they have their web page, of course, which is terrific, but they're also streaming programs, and you can listen to it. It's just like with the old shortwave, except that it sounds a lot better. And it's reliable. It doesn't fade in and fade out and all of that. So, I think this is where it's going.
Thank you, John. Now we go to Dan, who is in St. Louis. Hi, Dan. Are you listening to us online by any chance?
No, I am not. I am on my phone. But I work for St. Louis County Department of Health, and I'm the communications person. I also do emergency preparedness. And I just wanted to point out the relevancy in an emergency situation of AM radio is just extensive. As we found out in 9/11 at New York, cell phones were all down, internet was down, nobody was streaming, nobody was smartphoning to each other. The only thing that worked were land telephone lines and radio. So I think in an emergency situation, our infrastructure of AM radio is vital to mass communications around the nation when everything else will be tied up.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thank you for that perspective. Jack, a reaction to that?
I'm sure that that's true, that they, because AM signal, AM towers are small, they're short, and they don't have to be on top of buildings like in New York City. They're probably out in a swamp in New Jersey somewhere. And so they are not going to be as affected by something like a World Trade Center, where a building comes down, or the big tall tower that has lots of different stations on it comes down. Because it is more scattered. But, how often have we had a 9/11? Fortunately, just one that I remember. And do people even have the radios or think to use them in those situations? But he's right. I mean, there are times where AM is less vulnerable to a disaster and would serve a purpose.
Well, I know that this FCC commissioner wants the FCC to put this high on the agency's agenda. He says that he's bullish on next-generation technology, but thinks there continues to be a place for broadcasting and AM radio. Do you suspect that this is something the FCC is going to want to take a look at?
I have no inside information, but there has to be a strong lobbying group pushing it. And whether the AM broadcasters have that kind of oomph anymore, I don't know, because they've shifted their emphasis to television and to FM, of course. And so if it's important to a large group of powerful broadcasters, then it might be pushed. But I just don't see what the solution is, other than digital. And say the public has not embraced that because we've had digital for several years now.
We are talking about AM radio. It's past, it's present, and it's future with Jack Mitchell, who is the former director of Wisconsin Public Radio and a professor emeritus of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. And we continue to welcome your questions and your observations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Did you know that Motown founder Berry Gordy ordered his producers to create records that had the tinny sound of car radios? I didn't either. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 7:37 on this Friday, September 13th. We are talking about AM radio this hour. It's past, it's present, and its future. Back in the 1960s, Top 40 radio was on a lot of AM stations, but no longer. FM and satellite radio and other technologies have taken over. The AM listening audience is declining. It's now only 15% of the listening audience to radio. And now some new technologies like smartphones are threatening that as well. One FCC commissioner is trying to save AM radio by proposing some changes in regulations. And we are talking about whether or not AM radio can be saved, whether it should be saved. And we want to talk a little bit more about your memories of AM radio as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest has listened to a lot of radio. He knows a lot about radio. He is Jack Mitchell. He is the former director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He's a founding producer of NPR's All Things Considered. He's currently writing a book on the history of public radio and television for the Wisconsin State Historical Society Press. And he is also a professor emeritus of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. We have many callers still waiting, so let's go to Ray in Milwaukee next. Hello, Ray.
Yeah. If you want to hear interesting black talk radio in the city of Milwaukee, you want to listen to AM. There's a show at night, Coast to Coast, which probably has the biggest listening audience next to Rush Limbaugh. I find it interesting your guest hasn't even mentioned this show. But you have sports radio, sports talk radio still. And when I grew up, I moved to North Carolina for a while, and I was extremely homesick. But I was still able to get a station out of Chicago. I don't remember the call letters for that station, but you could hear that station clear down to Florida. And there are reasons why we should stop the smartphones from taking over. And the main reason is because our government is listening in to everything you're doing on the Internet. Why would you want them to make lists of your favorite?
Yeah, Ray, I think we're kind of shifting the focus off of that. But any reaction, Jack, to the thought that there's still a lot of great radio on AM radio?
Well, as I said earlier, that you have to any medium will survive if it offers something that is not available elsewhere. And yes, sports radio is a big AM factor. probably second to Rush Limbaugh. And there's no single sports personality like that that dominates. Yes, there's a lot of black and other, and I mentioned ethnic minorities. I should have put black radio in that category as well, because that tends to often is on AM, because it's easy to, it's relatively inexpensive to buy or operate an AM station compared to FM, because it doesn't, it's an inferior technology, and those who are kind of on marginalized formats will migrate there. The notion of listening over great distances, I remember that too. And it was back in the days of, radio, you know, we had its golden age when you had all the great entertainment shows on radio. And television changed all that, and all those programs moved to television, or programs similar to them moved to television, and left radio to reinvent itself. And it did it with music initially. Rock was a big part of it, and stations like WLS in Chicago, which may be what our listener was talking about, you know, they covered huge areas with this high-intensity rock music, and WABC in New York. There were some grand rock stations in the 60s, 50s and 60s, that before FM took that over. And as I indicated, that FM became dominant in the late 70s. And at that point, then the AM stations were pretty much forced to reduce down to talk, and the music moved to FM.
Reduced down to talk, Jack. Just kidding.
Yes.
That reminds me. That reminds me of WHA and WLBL, Wisconsin Public Radio's two big AM stations. There are regulations on the books that tell us to power down at night, right?
Right. Well, this is that problem of too many stations, and the it's a huge. You just had to be what I've been researching lately. Those stations were, the argument was, well, you know, if you're an educational station, when are schools open? Well, they're not open at night, so why should you be on the air? That would be the excuse that was given. But, of course, the commercial people demanded and got all the good nighttime frequencies, and it left most of the few educational stations that were that had any time at all to mostly AM daytime. And so, including the oldest station in the nation, which you'd think would have the best spot on the dial,
right,
ended up in a, not a bad spot, but it was nighttime only, or I'm sorry, daytime only. And it's only in the last few years that it's even been on at night. Mm-hmm. And now it's a greatly reduced power, because it's protecting, in the case of WHA, I believe there's a station in Austin, Minnesota, on the same frequency. And at night, signals bounce off the ionosphere and go great distances. So there's a great deal more interference at night than during the daytime. And so one-third of all the AM stations have to power down, as you, to use your phrase. And so I'm it's ironic. The state had a plan in the, about 1930 to combine WHA and WLBL with one big station, which would be located near Stevens Point, but south of it. And it would be a full-time station with lots of power. That was knocked down by commercial broadcasters who wanted those frequencies themselves. And so WHA and WLBL were cut back to 5,000 watts daytime. And then it's even worse than that, because the stations were not maintained terribly well. They didn't replace parts as often as they should have, and so they kind of degenerated, or their power, their coverage deteriorated over a period of time. And then other stations coming on the air would fill in the space. And then when they actually did the repairs on HA and LBL, they were interfering with stations that had come on in later time, so they were reduced and reduced. And so it's a shadow of what it once was, and it's primarily because so many other stations have come on the air.
Yeah. Well, we have someone you know on the line, Dave in Ormond Beach, Florida. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Jack. Jack, you and I think we only met once or twice. I was an engineer, transmitter operator for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah.
And you were mainly down in Madison, and I was up in Wausau, Park Falls, and Auburndale, and all those places.
Right.
But anyway, when I heard this program on Joy, this is a... I mean, it struck a chord. I started listening to DXing the AM broadcast band in the late 60s and ended up working in broadcasting, which I really loved. And also, Jack, I'm going to get a copy of your book when it comes out, but I like to make people aware of an excellent book and written by Randall Davidson, one of the news people for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. His book is entitled 9XM Talking, WHA Radio and the Wisconsin Idea, and it's by University of Wisconsin Press, and I'm plugging it because it's such an excellent history of the evolution of the network, right up into beginning with, he mentions TV near the end, and if people are interested in the history of mainly the state network, that's an excellent book to read.
Yeah. We've talked to Randall on the air, and Randall's now with the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. But Dave, do you think AM radio's in danger of going away? Will you miss it? Still listen?
Ironically, I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio on the internet, on a Wi-Fi receiver here. It's the only way I can get it here in Florida. But as far as and like Jack said earlier, AM radio is mostly talk now. If we could improve the quality of the network, people in Wisconsin don't know how good they have it. Down here in Florida, I hate to say this, but public broadcasting is it's called robot radio, where they just put up a transmitter site with a satellite receiver, and that's it. You get what you get, and it's usually not local origination.
Yeah.
Wisconsin people are lucky to have what they have because of the local origination.
Well, we should record this and play it during our pledge drive, Dave, when it comes up. So,
but he is right about he's right about all of it, but including Randall's book, which is very good on the early years. It has all the detail that anybody could want, and so that's certainly a good recommendation. But the localism that we had in Wisconsin is critical. And the key is that we were, for 50 years, Wisconsin was broadcasting strictly a local service. There was no NPR or other national shows. So for 50 years, more than that, actually, they were producing everything locally. And then the network came along, and NPR came along, and a lot of their programming has been incorporated into one or the other of the two networks. But the most parts of the country, they don't have that tradition of local production. And so, it's mostly stuff off the satellite. It's really good stuff, but it's a little bit generic and certainly national.
We are talking about AM radio and whether or not AM radio is in danger of going away, whether there's anything that needs to be done to save AM radio, and we're welcoming your questions and your observations, maybe your memories of AM radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Eagle Pass was a narrow cut between...
We are talking about the past, the present, and future of AM radio. Our discussion is prompted by a recent article in the New York Times claiming that the digital age is killing AM radio and that there is at least one attempt. A Republican member of the FCC commission is on a quest to save AM radio, trying to make it a priority at the FCC. We are talking about whether it needs to be a priority or where AM radio is going, where radio in general is going, and welcoming your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Jack Mitchell, who is an emeritus professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison, also the former director of Wisconsin Public Radio. John in Kimberly emails, "The problem with AM is audio quality. The audio part of the AM signal is carried on the outside edge of broadcast frequency envelope, the broadcast frequency envelope, and then there's environmental electronic noise. This makes it irritating to listen to in a noisy environment like driving in a car. It had its day, but I do not see why to keep it alive." Your thoughts on that, Jack?
Well, technically, there's no reason to keep it alive. Mm-hmm. It is inferior, no question about it. Some of the programming that's on AM radio ought to be kept alive, but that can be done in a variety of ways. Say the internet is the most obvious. But here in Wisconsin, of course, most of our talk programming that's on Wisconsin Public Radio, though it originates from the AM station in Madison, it is broadcast on FM. And we were able to get FM frequencies back in the days when nobody wanted them. And so the programming, although it's kind of AM programming, it's on FM, and that's where most people hear it. Even in places where the AM signal is not bad, like Madison itself, we still managed to get a couple of FM translators, they're called, which means the programming can also be heard on FM. And so the technology, it's inferior, and it's only because it has unique programming that certain audiences want and seek out that it survives. But the programming could just as well be on FM or online in digital format.
Yeah. Let's go to Mary in Sawyer County now. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Rachel. I have a story now and then from the past, but I just wanted to say that I spend a lot of time in my car and listen to public radio, especially the Ideas Network, all the time. And the only time I push the AM button is when I get to central Wisconsin and then your station comes up there. And so then my story from the past has to do with the radio wars in the barn when I was a teenager in the late 1960s and doing chores with my dad. And, of course, we always had a radio on in the barn, and he always had WCCO radio out of Minneapolis on. And whenever he was away from the radio, I'd turn one of the rock stations on. And then I'd go to the other side of the barn to do something or feed the cattle, and pretty soon we'd be back on his radio station. So yeah. It really made me smile to hear this and bring back that memory today.
Well, I'm glad you shared that memory. Yeah, radio is a big part of a lot of our lives. But I'm interested, too, in Mary's story that she never turns on the AM dial unless she's in central Wisconsin, where Wisconsin Public Radio is on the AM dial. People just don't want to listen to AM anymore, right, Jack?
Well, they don't even know it's... Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... An old-time, listener to AM radio primarily over the years. I just kind of scan the FM dial looking for something to listen to. I don't think to even go down to the AM dial. In the case of public radio, you know that the stations are going to be down at the bottom of the FM dial where AM could be anywhere. And you have to go through an awful lot of not very good stuff to find an AM station. So that's why, in the case of central Wisconsin, and this was after my time, but it was a good decision, they've built a station near Wisconsin Rapids. I think it's in Adams. But that now covers a lot of the territory that formerly was only on, could be heard on WLBL. And then there's WLBL-FM, which is now is on the Rib Mountain Tower near Wausau. So there are a couple of FM alternatives to WLBL, and I would haven't seen numbers in many, many years, but I suspect that LBL AM listening is down even more because of the FM alternatives.
Yeah. Well, we're running short on time, and now we have tons and tons of callers who want to share memories. Before we run out of time, I guess I did want to look a little bit to the future in that the FCC commissioner who wants to save the AM dial has a number of different suggestions, and we've talked some about them. But what he wants to do is he does want to examine HD radio and maybe have the FCC mandate that all AM stations convert to a digital transmission. But you were saying that HD radio is not really catching on with the public?
Not really, not as much as television did, because first of all, it's not technically, it's not much better than, I'll put it this way, FM is good enough. It's the digital version of FM is better, but it's not probably worth investing in a HD radio. AM is improved much more than the FM. But it's just with so many FM stations that people just don't seem to be all that interested. And so it's, yes, they're available in the state stations or of the Wisconsin Public Radio. Almost all of them broadcast digitally. But I think you'll find that most of the listening is still on AM and FM.
All right. So in our final minute, Jack, in 10 years, where will people find the Joy Cardin Show?
Online.
Yeah.
I think that's for sure. And I think the FM stations will continue. I think the AMs will stay on the air. They just won't have very many listeners. It'll still be there. If Joy Sardine is still there. let's assume that happens.
Yeah, right.
And that's going to, it'll be in more places, not fewer. And even if AM goes away, good programming is going to find an audience, and it's going to find a way to be distributed. And that means your show, but it's, some people, Rush Limbaugh's good radio.
Yeah. Well, when's your book coming out?
Oh, not for a couple of years.
Oh, well, we'll focus on the history of public radio and television before it comes out, I hope. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Okay, thanks.
Jack Mitchell is Emeritus Professor of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, former director of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with us about the attempt by some to save AM radio. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this show. Thanks very much to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardin. This is the Ideas Network.